It's Monday, the 27th of October. I'm Alec Hogg, and here's your BizNews briefing. Today we feature Helen Ziller, Sean Summers, Zunaid Moti, Javier Milei, and Ronald Reagan. Well, you may have noticed that the briefing took a break for a little bit, about a couple of weeks. And the reason for this is that we are re-looking at what works best for our tribe. And, well, in essence, pretty much what we've been doing, excepting we are truncating the briefing to 13 minutes and giving you more business. And that doesn't mean that we are completely dispensing with the socio-political economic information, but we will be focusing more on the stuff that, well, makes BizNews what BizNews is. But the in our headlines today, the National Freedom Party in KwaZulu-Natal has said that it is considering withdrawing from the coalition which gave the IFP, the ANC, and the Democratic Alliance 41 seats in the 80-seat provincial government, as against 39 seats, which is held by the Jacob Zuma MK Party and the EFF. With the National Freedom Party, which is a one-seat party in that government, switching across, or so it threatens, that will make it a hung parliament for KwaZulu-Natal, and the implications thereof are anybody's guess. Helen Ziller had her thoughts, and you can watch that as part of an in-depth interview that I had with her that you can find on BizNews TV. Still with politics, Brett Bozell has been confirmed by the US Parliament, their version of Parliament anyway. It's the Congress. He had his hearings there on Friday, and as it is a Republican-dominated Congress, he will be now confirmed to come to South Africa as Ronald Reagan's man on the southern tip of the continent. In business news, we're going to have more information in a moment about Pick and Pay from the chief executive, Sean Summers. Interim results today released. That was for the 6 months to the end of August. And in other news from the stock exchange, Astoria Holdings is to delist, and its shareholders are going to get quite a bonanza. The share price has been trading at 6 rand a share recently. They are being offered 8 rand 15 plus 12 shares in Gold Rush, which is a separately listed company and the biggest asset in the Astoria portfolio. The directors of Astoria say they're doing this because the shares were always trading at a huge discount, somewhere between 40 and 45% of the net asset value. The net asset value there, by the way, is 10 rand and 99 cents. So although shareholders are getting out with a value of about 9 rand, they still are getting, well, something of a discount to the true value. They will, however, be able to have a run on Gold Rush Holdings.
And Hermanus is a man from this windy little town called Yaku. Sorry, other way around. Yaku's from Hermanus. Yaku, we need to talk about your upgrade problem.
I don't have an upgrade problem.
Two Audis, an Opel, a Kia, and a Hyundai. It's 5 cars, Yaku. Denial.
I just love cars. And when we buy cars, that make it so much easier for you and convenient. You sell your car. You want to try it?
Okay, just once. Turn off the cameras. I see how this is addictive. Take two of those. We buy cars. The easiest way to sell your car by far.
Quite appropriate on our return to be featuring Hermanus. Well, Helen Ziller and I had a fabulous conversation yesterday. It is wide-ranging. I suggest you go and watch it on BizNews TV. But the part that really will interest the business community is when I asked her what message she has for Joburg businesses, in particular the CEOs or executives of those companies who tend to be semigrating at a rate that we haven't seen in a long time. What will Ziller or a Ziller mayor in Joburg be able to promise or offer to Joburg businesses so that they'll stay put and expand?
Well, I would first move to stabilize the finances and especially ring-fence the finances for utilities. I would make sure I got the Auditor General into my office, as I did when I was Mayor of Cape Town and Premier of the Western Cape, and get the Auditor General to work through her report, her management report, and the entire audit so that I can see where the risk factors are. I would get on top of the budget completely. I would understand the organogram and the employment architecture of the city. I would look at all the duplication that's happening inside the city and in those entities. I would take the best advice on how to streamline the administration and get rid of duplication. I would set up in my office a public-private partnership unit to ensure that we can concession as many of the major services as possible. I would take on board and partner with all the wonderful civil society organizations that are working in every sphere in Johannesburg to fix things. I would end corruption and do whatever it takes to end corruption in the city of Johannesburg. And I know it's a very dangerous undertaking, but that's what my mission would be. And I would make sure that it happened. And I would accept for the first time, comfortably, having protectors. I've had protectors before, of course, but now I will be very comfortable in having protectors, because I can tell you, if you're going to eradicate corruption, you need them in current day South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see, as I said, mentioned earlier, that full interview. You can also see the full interview with Sean Summers, Pick and Pay CEO, who today is talking with investment analysts and telling them about the results for that company for the 6 months to the end of August. I asked Sean, as we kicked off, what the difference was in the when he walks around. He's very famous at being a person who visits the shops or the outlets of Pick and Pay to see what's happening on the ground. What he felt the major difference was between what he sees today and when he started there 2 years ago.
It's certainly dramatically improved. But it's a journey, Alec. You know, it takes quite a while to get the 60-odd thousand people that we have in Pick and Pay really pointing in the right direction. But I think we've made significant progress in that regard. And just from the feedback that I get from our call center, I monitor that actively. A lot of positive feedback starting to flow and come through.
I have had a look at your share price very closely. You are in our Biz News portfolio. Our tribe are big investors with you. And it's gone crazy in the last month, Sean. Is it suddenly that people are waking up to the reality of what you are doing there?
I think, Alec, when you have a look at the share price, a lot of what is in the share price is, in fact, the read-through of the Boxer performance. Boxer, as you know, has been absolutely stellar. And we still own 65% of that. So a fair portion of that is the read-through from Boxer. I don't think that the market really is placing much value on Pick and Pay yet. I think it's an issue of timing. It's not a case of if, it's a case of when. And as I said in the beginning, this would be a multi-year journey. You know, the company has been in a backward trajectory for over a decade. So, you know, to turn this around, has to be done profoundly. So a lot of the institutional loss of our own muscle memory, it takes time to reinstate that. So yes, the share price has been a wonderful performance, but more to come.
Now, here's the numbers. You do have a big turnaround, bottom line turnaround. You promised it when you were talking to the investment community at the results for financial year 2025. That was the end of February. These numbers today will certainly buoy shareholders when you see a headline loss improving 45%. You're still losing money at the headline area, and you're still losing money at pre-tax. But my goodness, from R1 billion to R300 million, that's some kind of turnaround.
Then there's been a lot of work to get there, Alec. And what is a very, very constrained market. I mean, the South African market at the moment is really tough. I mean, consumers are really doing it hard in this country across the length and breadth of the country. So it is a good performance. We're very happy with it. Would we want more? Absolutely. But on we go.
Yeah, on they go indeed. Well, the share price came back about 6% today. So it's one of those stories of buy on rumor, sell on fact, but it's still up by 25% in the past month, and now is flat for the year after being a poor performer. Another big story of the moment, and one that erupted 2 weeks ago when Mike Miller, the chief executive of Montengo, made some hectic allegations against entrepreneur Zunaid Moti and private investigator Paul O'Sullivan. He called O'Sullivan a sellout. He said that Moti was running a criminal enterprise. We got Moti on BizNews TV today to talk from his perspective for his right of reply. And he too is not pulling any punches. But I asked him why he's taking so much time. Why does he bother so much in doing the investigation that he did? And when you watch that interview with Moti, you will see what I'm talking about. And he went into such detail on this company when actually it's a small cap. So why, Zunaid, why bother?
If I had to throw a rock at every single person or every single process along the way to success, I'd be waiting a very long time to get to where I need to. But I think it was important. And the only reason I wanted an opportunity to explain myself was because I can see this level of madness that's going on. And it would be a bloody shame if an investor, a mama, papa, a little investor out there wanting to make a bit of money and sold a lot of hogwash and then finding themselves losing their money. Be cautious. I also would like to just reiterate the banks. They need to be ultra cautious about this because this, in my opinion, smacks of Marcus Huster. Marcus Huster was a CA, remember? This is a CA. They use this divine knowledge of having financial knowledge and the ability to write MBAs and all of this to dupe people into believing the rubbish and nonsense. And look at where Marcus Huster ended up, buddy. Billions and billions and billions of rands wasted and stolen. Let's not find ourselves supporting a lunatic.
Mm-hmm. Well, the big global story of the day comes from Argentina, where in yesterday's elections, where the president Javier Milei was expected to really struggle, turned out into something completely different for the country's chainsaw-wielding economist president. Here's our partners at Bloomberg.
It's a landslide victory compared to expectations. We've been hearing from US President Donald Trump on Air Force One, telling reporters that Milei had a lot of support from him. So how much was it down to Trump's support?
Well, certainly what we see from the result of this vote is that Argentine voters are certainly in favor of the economic overhauls that Javier Milei has been proposing since he entered Argentina's political scene. What we also saw over the past few weeks was that there was volatility in the currency, and that's where U.S. President Donald Trump and his government has stepped in to shore up the currency and to also bolster support by promising a swap and a possible credit line to be arranged with banks. So certainly it was a helpful show of support that helped Milei avoid some of this currency volatility that affects voters in the run-up to the election.
So how much fire does this light underneath Milei's plans to overhaul the Argentine economy?
Well, Lizzie, while Javier Milei's party still won't have outright majorities in Congress, that means that they will still need to make some alliances with other parties, but this significantly improves their standing in Congress. And that what this means is that Javier Milei and his government will be able to pursue some of the big economic overhaul reforms that they have been discussing as very important for the economy. That includes, for example, labor reform, tax reform, and pension reform. So it's going to be very interesting to see in the coming weeks how fast he can advance with his agenda.
In today's tailpiece, perhaps the most expensive advert in history. Last week, the Ontario province premier, Doug Ford, Ontario's in Canada, ran an advert on US television, which features Ronald Reagan's view on tariffs. For his troubles, Canada just got another 10% tariff slapped on it by Donald Trump. Here's the ad.
When someone says, let's impose tariffs on foreign imports, it looks like they're doing the patriotic thing by protecting American products and jobs. And sometimes for a short while it works. But only for a short time. But over the long run, such trade barriers hurt every American worker and consumer. High tariffs inevitably lead to retaliation by foreign countries and the triggering of fierce trade wars. Then the worst happens. Markets shrink and collapse, businesses and industries shut down, and millions of people lose their jobs. Throughout the world, there's a growing realization that the way to prosperity for all nations is rejecting protectionist legislation and promoting fair and free competition. America's jobs and growth are at stake.
Oi, Doug Ford. Okay, well, that's it from us for today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, cheerio.